Good morning, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. I am happy to bring the message to you this morning. Pastor Mike has been starting with a song every Sunday morning, so I thought that I would start with a song that you all will all know and probably all love. Here it goes. Thank you to Vince Gill for that beautiful, beautiful song. There was a quick phone call there while it was playing. I apologize for that. Now we will go on to our message. Of course, our message today comes from Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And the title of our message to my brothers and sisters this morning is Evaluating Our Ministry. And before we read Galatians chapter 2, 1 through 10, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you that we can make this recording and all of our brothers and sisters can hear it. Thank you that we can worship you and honor you and praise you. We ask you, Lord, to look after all the people that is being affected at this time with COVID and all the deaths in our area. And we ask you to be with all those wonderful people that has lost loved ones and be with all the people that are sick. We ask you to be with all the people on the prayer list and the prayer chain. And we ask you to put a hedge of protection around all of our loved ones. And during all these times that we have to continue to work during all this COVID situation, we ask you today, Lord, to, as we read your word and meditate on what you would have us to hear, to please let the Holy Spirit lead, God, and direct this service and what we say and what our brothers and sisters hear. And we thank you most of all for sending your Son Jesus to earth so that our sins can be forgiven and that we can go to heaven when we pass away. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Also, I would like to mention quickly the song Vince Gill, Go Rest High on That Mountain. Recently, Brother Travis Reed from the Albright Baptist Church sang that at Clarence's funeral, and he did an amazing job, and we couldn't ever thank him enough for it. And you all remember Brother Travis Reed, or I call him Cousin Travis Reed, but he's came out to Pleasant Grove many times with Pastor Joe Lamb and sang and played, and it's always amazing. And I wanted to thank him real quick after hearing Vince Gill's song. So now we always like to have Brother Larry Maxwell read the verses, but we can't because of COVID, so I will try to do it justice. So now we'll read Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the title is Paul Accepted by the Apostles. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give into them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. So now, a quick funny story. After a town-wide revival had concluded, three pastors were discussing the results with one another of the town revival. The Methodist minister said, "The revival worked out great for us. We gained four new families." The Presbyterian preacher said, "Well, we did better than that. We gained six new families." The Baptist pastor said, "Well, we did even better than that. We got rid of 10 of our biggest troublemakers." If you have been around other churches for any length of time, you know that you will encounter some unique individuals. And if we are honest, some of them are harder to love than others. Some people are great assets to the church. Some are givers, some are takers. Some are only there for what they can get out of the church. Some are there simply to cause trouble. Some are extremely positive. Some can find fault at the drop of a hat. Some will do anything that is needed, and some won't do anything. But I am thankful that in this church you can find sold-out, devoted servants of Christ. I can't imagine what life would be like without my faith and church family. There are many words I could use to describe the actions and attitudes of those who are a part of this little church on the hill. One thing that I am extremely, extremely thankful for is that we have a church filled with ministers. When I say minister, I'm not referring to a vocational ministry minister like Pastor Mike, but rather one who serves others. Let's take this even further. A true minister is someone who is first and foremost a servant of Jesus Christ. You are more than just a member of this church. You are part of this ministry. And when it comes to ministry, I want you to ask yourself an important question. Are you having a positive impact or a negative impact? There is no middle ground. There is no neutral. You are either adding to this ministry or taking away from it. These are some words that I would use to describe the people in our church. Loving, faithful, encouraging, supportive, devoted, compassionate, prayerful, spiritual. Ask yourself the old question, what kind of church would my church be if every member was just like me? I think it is important for us to periodically take a moment to evaluate our personal contributions to the ministry. If we look real close, then we may find that there are some changes to be made in how we serve others, and most importantly, how we serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, thus far in the book of Galatians, Paul has covered a great deal of information. He has declared and defended the apostleship, his apostleship. He has reminded the people of Christ's sacrifices for their sins. He has reinforced the idea of salvation through grace. He has addressed the issue of returning to the bondage of the law. He has exposed and warned against false teaching. In the verses immediately preceding our text for today, Paul shared a brief testimony of his life before Christ. He talked about his conversion and his life in Christ up to this point. Here in chapter 2, he continues to describe some of the issues that he had faced since he began to serve the Lord. He is telling the believers of Galatia that the issues they are facing are not new. He had dealt with these same problems and similar troublemakers in the past. In our verses today, Paul speaks about the actions concerning different groups of people. One, there are some who Paul served, the Galatians. There are some who served with Paul, that is Titus and Barnabas. There are some who hindered Paul's service, that's the Judaizers. Some of them had a positive impact on the ministry, and some had a negative impact. The same types of people and the same actions can be found in churches today. It is my desire through this message you can identify what sort of impact we are having. Let's look at the text and consider the subject, evaluating our ministry. As we perform this ministry evaluation, there are three questions that I'll ask for us to answer. Do we invest in others? Do we work with others? Do we cause trouble for others? Each of these are common actions found in most churches today, so as we evaluate our ministry, I ask you, do we invest in others? Verse 1 of our verses today, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. When Paul returned to Jerusalem, he was accompanied by Barnabas and Titus. These three men were fellow laborers in the ministry. They worked together to spread the gospel, but they also benefited each other. These men, who were being used of God to minister to others, also ministered to one another. We notice that Barnabas invested in Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26 says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple." In verse 27 it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Saul of Tarsus, as we have learned in the wonderful messages earlier that Pastor Mike has given, Saul of Tarsus had a reputation among the early church. Paul has already made mention of his past. He said that his goal and passion in life had been to destroy the church. His life had been spent persecuting Christians. But all that changed on Damascus Road when Jesus called him out. There had been a great change in his life, but the people did not know about it. And those who didn't, and those who did, didn't believe it. When Paul desired to join the other disciples of Christ, they were afraid of him and didn't believe that he was a disciple. This could have been a very devastating time for Paul, but praise God, Barnabas was there. Barnabas realized that the Lord had radically transformed this man, and he took a stand for his new brother in Christ. Barnabas had nothing to gain personally from befriending Paul, but he did so because it was the right thing to do. Paul, in turn, invested in Titus. Notice how Paul referred to Titus in the book of Titus, chapter 4, verse 4, "To Titus, my own son, after the common faith." Somewhere along the way, Paul encountered Titus as a result. Titus encountered Jesus. Titus was not just someone that Paul had led to the Lord. There was a relationship. He calls him his son in the faith. Relationships require an investment of time. Paul invested much time and work into Titus's life. As a result of Paul investing into Titus's life, Titus grew and became beneficial to the ministry. The gospel ministry has a chain reaction, so to speak. Barnabas invested in Paul. Paul invested in Titus. And as a result, Titus invested in others. Notice in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 5. In that book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes, "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Paul had ministered to the Christians in Crete. Paul's journeys led him elsewhere, but there was still work to be done. Paul left Titus in Crete to continue the work of the ministry. This speaks to how much time and effort Paul had invested into Titus. He trusted him enough to leave him behind to accomplish the things that were necessary. Barnabas had spent time with Paul and helped him in his new life in Christ. He then went with Paul on his first missionary journey. Barnabas lived up to his reputation as a son of consolation and the great encourager. He invested in the life of Paul, and Paul benefited greatly as a result. Not only did Barnabas invest in Paul, we see that Paul invested in Titus. I wondered this morning where Paul would have been at this point in his life if there had been no Barnabas. I wonder where Titus would have been at this point in his life if there had been no Paul. I wonder where the believers in Crete would have been if there was no Titus. Can you imagine where would you be if certain people had not invested in you? Throughout my life, there have been many people who have invested in me. I had grandparents, parents who taught me about the Lord. I have had pastors, youth leaders, and Sunday school teachers who taught me. I've had Christian friends who have who I have benefit from in many ways. And there are still people, many of them, whom are here today and listening today, who are still investing in my life. It is vitally important that each of us who are born again take the time and invest in others. Jesus himself tells us to go and make disciples. What about you? Do you invest in others? Will you take the time to witness to someone, teach someone, encourage someone, lead someone, pray with someone? Will you do what it takes to help someone along the way? I love to see people saved, but our responsibility doesn't end when they pass through the waters and their name is on the church roll. Once they are saved and baptized, then the discipleship process begins. It is good for a new believer to sit under biblical preaching. It is good for them to attend Sunday school or small group prayer meetings, but they still need more. The new convert needs mature believers to invest into their life. I encourage you to find someone who is young in the faith and become a mentor to them. You are where you are because of people invested in you. Will you invest in others? As we move further, I want to ask you another question. Do you work with others? In verse 7 of today's verses, on the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. Verse 8, for God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. Verse 9, James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So here, brothers and sisters, we find that Peter, John, and James, Barnabas, and Paul were all on the same page concerning the ministry. God had revealed to Paul that he should go to Jerusalem. He met with Peter, John, and James, those apostles who were considered to be pillars or leaders of the church. Paul shared the message that he had been preaching to the Gentiles. The other apostles supported Paul and the work that he was doing. Paul says that they did not demand that Titus be circumcised, as some thought he should. And the Lord's apostles did not add anything to what Paul was preaching. Peter, John, and James gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of Christian fellowship. In the Near East, the right hand of fellowship represented a solemn vow of friendship and the mark of partnership. Though there may have been some troublemakers among the churches, the true servants of the Lord were working together. We must take the proper steps to ensure that we are working together for the cause of Christ. If you are saved, there is a work for you to do. You have a gift, and God has a plan for your life, and that plan involves serving Him. When it comes to believers working together, we find that there are different missions. Paul says that we should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. Barnabas and Paul was the minister to the Gentiles. Peter and the others were focused on the Jews. It worked out this way because God planned it this way. Jesus identified Paul's mission when he sent Ananias to touch Paul in Damascus. These were different men in different places with a different crowd and a different calling. This is still the case today. We are different people. We have different callings. We have different methods. We have different ways of influence. We have different abilities. We have different gifts. This is addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Verse 5. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Some of us may share the same mission or calling, or there may be some vast differences in our methods. But the key is found in this fact. There may be different missions, but there is one message. What is the message? The message is the gospel. Though Paul and Barnabas were ministering to the Gentiles and the others were preaching, reaching out to the Jews, they all had the same message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have our own areas of influence and ability. You may be better suited to minister to certain types of people. Some of you may have a way with children. Some of you may connect better with youth. Some may be suited to minister to seniors. Some are more comfortable talking to men about Jesus. Some more comfortable talking to women about Jesus. Some of you have great connections where you can witness to young adults. Some of you may have a passion to reach out to drug addicts or alcoholics. All of these groups need to hear about Jesus, and it takes different methods to reach each of these specific situations. It is fine for the methods to vary, but the message never changes. It's always the gospel. First of all, are you working for the Lord? If not, you need to make things right with Jesus. But if you are you working with others? As we have seen, there are some who were working against Paul, and they were hindering the ministry. Many times, well-meaning brethren work against each other in the name of ministry. Some people who are focused on their own specific ministry or pet project that they neglect to support or even hinder other forms of ministry. Most churches have several different ministries, and if not careful, the members of the church will begin to elevate one ministry over the other, and before you know it, the brotherhood is disagreeing. Folks, we are not in competition with any biblical church. If we are preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then we are on the same team. We must set aside ego and work together for the sake of the gospel, whether it is our own local assembly or church, or the universal church. We must work together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So again, I ask, do we work with others? If we can ever wrap our minds around the fact that we can do more working together than against each other as the Christian church in America, then we can accomplish great things for Jesus. As we conclude our evaluation of our ministry, there's one last question. Do we cause trouble for others? In verse 4, this matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus to make us slaves. Verse 5, we did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved in you. Here Paul describes some of the troublemakers that he had dealt with in the past. These individuals were very similar to those who would cause trouble and division in the Galatian church, and these same types are present today. Paul addresses the most important fact right here in verse 4, false believers. These Judaizers were not true believers. They lived in no man's land, so to speak. They professed devotion to Christ, and this was opposed to Judaism. Then they called for circumcision and obeying the Mosaic law, so they were in opposition to Christianity. Whether they knew it or not, they were being used by Satan to spy out the believers' liberty in Christ. Paul paints a picture of a spy entering in and infiltrating the enemy's camp. The goal of that spy was to bring the Christians into bondage. The bondage referred to was the rituals, rules, and regulations of Judaism. Paul and Titus never retreated from their position of salvation by grace through Christ alone. But the enemy had set its sights on the believers of Galatia, and his spies have infiltrated the church and were causing great trouble. And today, the enemy would love to cause trouble in the church. He will take every opportunity to have someone infiltrate a church and sow discord. Just as sure as we must watch for false prophets in the church, as in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, we also must watch for those who would come in the church and cause division. Just as Paul refused to give in to the Judaizers, we must refuse to fall for the evil works or troublemakers in the church. So this is the question for my brothers and sisters. Do we invest in others? Do we work with others? Do we cause trouble for others? If we have performed this evaluation of our ministry and we don't like the results, better yet, if Jesus doesn't like the results, then we need to make big changes right now. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, precious Heavenly Father, once again for your word. Your word is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. Thank you that we have your written word that we can look back and study and learn. And we thank you so very much for that. We thank you again for this day. We thank you for this beautiful weather that we have been enjoying. We ask you again to look after all the families that has been affected by COVID, all the good people on the prayer list, and all of their afflictions. Thank you for all the wonderful people in the Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. Thank you for all these things. And once again, most for sure, thank you for your son, Jesus. And in his name, we pray, amen. And in closing, I would just once again like to thank all of my brothers and sisters. Heidi and I would like to take this time to thank you all for your amazing prayers for her papa as he has went on to heaven. We would pray that you would continue to pray for us and the family as we look back on Clarence's amazing life. We hope and pray that we would remember more every day of his many, many 81 years and less of his last 2 months and last days. That would be our prayer for us that we need. And we thank you for his amazing life. We thank you for your prayers, and with that, I will bid you goodbye.
Are you done?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I... You can check, make sure I got it turned off. I didn't know the passcode. Yeah, you can turn it off.